to Luke, the 13th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to Jesus, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." He said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me. Listen, I'm casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day, I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you. And I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. The Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. The Pharisees tell Jesus to flee because Herod is trying to kill him. Considering how the Pharisees are usually portrayed as Jesus' adversaries, they are the ones against whom he spoke the woes more or less than a few weeks ago. It seems strange that they're trying to warn him now. Perhaps they simply want him out of their territory. At any rate, Jesus sends him back to Herod with a message that he answers to a higher authority and is too busy to be bothered with Herod and his threats. He must cast out demons and cure people regardless of any threat that Herod might pose, and he must be about this work today, tomorrow, and the next day. He must fulfill that purpose described by the prophet Isaiah, the one that he read in the synagogue in his hometown of Nazareth when he began his ministry. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he must be about this work today, tomorrow, and the next day, until his work is completed on the third day, which looks ahead to his death and resurrection. Before he arrives at that day of resurrection, he must go to Jerusalem, for it is there that the prophecies will be fulfilled. He will not be distracted from that divine purpose. What do we do when we're threatened with danger? Where can we find security and safety in the storms that we encounter on life's journey? When we look at what is happening in Ukraine, when we see gas prices here soar and the stock market tumble, we can be sure of one thing. Our security is not in this world. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you were not willing. This is the first of two occasions in Luke's Gospel where Jesus weeps over the holy city of Jerusalem. He weeps again after his triumphal entry into that city, saying that the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up ramparts around you and surround you and hem you in on every side. They will crush you to the ground, you and your children within you, and they will not leave within you one stone upon another, because you did not recognize the time of your visitation from God. He weeps, recalling how Jerusalem and the first temple built by Solomon were destroyed by the Babylonians, and the people were led away into exile. He weeps, knowing what lies ahead for these people whom he loves, this city that he loves. In the year 70 AD, the Roman army, led by the future Emperor Titus, will besiege and conquer the city of Jerusalem. The siege began 3 days before Passover, meaning that a large number of people were in the city and became trapped there once the fighting began. That siege lasted for 5 months. Titus had not planned to destroy the temple. Instead, he wanted to seize it and transform it into a temple devoted to the Roman emperor and to the pantheon of Roman gods. However, after a Roman soldier threw a burning stick into one of the temple's walls, the walls caught fire. The fire spread quickly and was soon out of control. After the temple was destroyed, the fighting moved to other portions of the city, and it fell a few weeks later. The historian Josephus wrote, "Now as soon as the army had no more people to slay or to plunder, Titus Caesar gave orders that they should now demolish the entire city and the temple, but should leave as many of the towers standing as they were of the greatest eminence, and so much of the wall enclosed the city on the west side. This wall was spared in order to afford a camp for such as to rely in person, as were the towers also spared, in order to demonstrate to posterity what kind of city it was, and how well fortified, which the Roman valor had subdued. But for all the rest of the walls surrounding Jerusalem, it was so thoroughly laid even with the ground by those that dug it up to the foundation that there was nothing left to make those that came thither believe that Jerusalem had ever been inhabited. And truly, the very view itself was a melancholy thing, for those places which were adorned with trees and pleasant gardens were now become a desolate country every way, and its trees were all cut down. Nor could any foreigner that had formerly seen Judea and the most beautiful suburbs of the city and now saw it a desert, but lament and mourn sadly at so great a change. For the war had laid all signs of beauty quite waste." The temple has never been rebuilt. You can see its ruins today, particularly the Western Wall, also known as the Wailing Wall. Jews are allowed onto the Temple Mount, but they are not permitted to pray. And many refuse to go there for fear of treading on the sacred ground where the temple's Holy of Holies once stood. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not alone. If our security cannot be found in the things of this world, where can we find it? We can find it in Jesus, who spreads his wings out and invites us to take refuge in him. Have you ever seen a mother hen with her chicks? I used to raise chickens long ago, so I saw it frequently. She leads them to places where they can find food and water. She defends them against predators. Mothers of any kind, even chickens, can be fierce when their young are threatened. She clucks at them to follow her. When there is danger, she warns them and puffs up her wings, and the chicks scurry underneath her. Under her wings, they find warmth and security. Jesus asks us to think of him as a mother hen, warning us of danger, calling us to find shelter and safety within him, for he is our only salvation. Let's look again at our psalm for today, Psalm 27, and look at the words of comfort that it provides to us. We see in it repetition of key terms: salvation, adversaries, heart, rise up, seek, hide. We are told that we have assurance of security within God. And look at it, how it is divided up. Verses 1 through 6 contain statements of confidence and certainty. Verses 7 through 12 are petitions for God's attention and instruction. Verses 13 through 14 confidently declare God's goodness and encourage others to be strong and courageous and wait upon the Lord. In times of trouble, our natural desire is to flee to a place of safety. Here, the psalmist says that God is that place. Look how it begins. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom then shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is light, because light dispels the darkness. The Lord is the one who saves. The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom should I be afraid? God is our defense, our protection. Let's look at verse 5. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will set me high on a rock. Look at verse 11. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me on a level path because of my oppressors. Remember last week when we talked about the 10 essentials you should always bring with you when you go hiking or backpacking? Things like illumination, navigation, shelter. The psalmist is saying that when we turn to God in our time of distress, God is our light. God is our guide. God is our shelter. God is that fortress with strong walls that protects us from the attack of our greatest enemy, the one who seeks to lead us down a path of destruction, the one who tries to turn our attention away from God and places fear in our hearts. If God is our protector, whom should we fear? Think of episode 1 of The Chosen, which was the focus of our discussion last Wednesday. Mary Magdalene had been taught from childhood a verse from Isaiah to repeat any time that she was afraid. And that verse was one that she held on to, even as the demons possessed her. That verse was repeated to her by Jesus. And Jesus says the same to us. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. Though the days ahead may be stormy and uncertain, there is one place of shelter in the storm that is always there for us if we just run to it, confident of God's grace and mercy. Let us run to those outstretched wings, those outstretched arms, saying with the psalmist, for in the day of trouble, God will give me shelter. Amen.